want to thank everybody who's listening in. I also want to thank those who visit our site, sightedmoon.com. And I have chosen for my first teaching, as Passover is only a couple of weeks away, to do a teaching about leaven. I found that as I was doing this study that it was not only insightful for myself, but I find that when I dig into the scriptures and I actually have to study something through, it usually opens up something within me and forces me to learn something a little bit deeper and closer to home. So let's get started. Let's first look at 1 Corinthians 5, 6 and 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the leaven, that you may be a new lump, and as you really are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So what is leaven that is spoken about here? Most people would say that if they are familiar with this term, they would probably say that it's sin. And to be honest, for many years, I thought the same way because I did not take the time to search this out and prove it to myself, at least not as much as I have now. So let's carry on. I believe now that sin is a result of leaven, but Scripture does not tell us that sin is leaven. It's another dimension of leaven. So let's turn to Matthew 16, 1 to 12. And it reads, "And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, and asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, Whenever it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be a stormy day, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Messiah said to them, Watch and beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they began discussing it amongst themselves, saying, We brought no bread. But Messiah, aware of this, said, O ye of little faith, why are you discussing amongst yourself the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves and the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Here we have a bit of a hint that's showing us that it's not specifically, again, talking about sin, but there's something more to do with the Pharisees and Sadducees and their teachings. So what is about these that are the Messiah did not like? Let's look at 12:1 for a better idea of what is being discussed here. And it reads, In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together, and they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. We already have many Torah commandments that teach us what sin is, and the more we study the Torah, the more that we're reminded not to sin and break the commandments. But here Yeshua is talking about the distinction of those who walk in the illusion of keeping Torah and submission to the Almighty, but inside, or that's hidden from everyone else, because they are being hypocrites to the truth they were not walking, that they wanted everybody in the world to believe. In other words, they were just putting on a good show, but in the end they were basically dried up dead. Now let's look at Matthew 23 for a more detailed explanation of what Messiah and Paul are talking about, and that it is not sin, even though there is sin involved, but the leaven is something more. As I mentioned before, there's hypocrisy involved in this, and let's go into this and try to discern what it is that's the hypocrisy that Yeshua is talking to us about. And remember, these are the things that we need to be aware of within ourselves that we are doing. It may not be just the Pharisees, but as an example, everything in Torah is there for a reason. So Messiah is going to break this down, and he's going to show us seven times in his scripture, right here in this one chapter, the seven areas of hypocrisy that he won't accept. So in Matthew 23:13, it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And it says the same thing in verse 14, 15, 23, 25, 27, and 29. And I want to cover each one of these verses. I want to go into it. I want to look at it and examine it. And when we see it, hopefully somewhere inside of you, I'm hoping that none of you have any of these issues, but I doubt that's going to be the case. I know that even in my own life, if I look at these things, it certainly makes me think a lot more about my life and my walk. And that's the important part about Torah, is what it is as a reminder. Reminder for us that we always have to be on guard, not to become complacent or lazy, but always focusing in on improving and becoming better. So let's look at the first one and try and get a better understanding. Matthew 23:13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in." In other words, they taught about God, but they did not love God. They did not enter the kingdom of heaven themselves, nor did they let anyone others enter. So what are they talking about here? I mean, it's one thing to turn around and say that they didn't let anybody else enter, but I mean, I don't think they're talking about in a physical aspect from physically stopping somebody. Again, there's two realms. There's physical and there's spiritual. So what are we looking at here? If you understand Judaism or the studies of the rabbis, one of the biggest things in order to become a rabbi is that you have to memorize the Torah, which in their case is the entire Old Testament, but you also have to memorize Talmud. And Talmud is basically centuries of oral commandments that have been added to and added to and added to, which are commentaries on the Torah. If you don't follow all of the additional laws on top of the existing laws that are already within the Torah, then they say that you don't qualify and you don't get into the kingdom. And I think this is the big issue that they're talking about. But Paul mentions something along these lines when he makes this quote, and I'm just quoting it, but he says, "The law itself does not obligate the Almighty to let you in." He wasn't talking in this case about when he says the law, which is another word for Torah. He's not talking about the Torah itself. He's talking about all the additional oral commandments in the Talmud. And this is one of the big issues that we have today, is there's a huge misunderstanding within the church in understanding Paul when they say that Paul says, no, the Torah is done away with, or the law is done away with. He's not talking in any cases about the Torah itself. He's only talking about all the added commandments that the rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees at that time had added to the Torah. It says that we cannot add or take away from the Torah. If we do, we can't change Yahweh's law. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to add to it to make it better and protect it. Unfortunately, what they do is they make it impossible for anybody to keep. And this is what they're talking about here. "Neither suffer you them that are entering to go in." They're stopping people from going in by making it impossible for anybody to make it. It's just not possible. And they say they're the only ones that are qualified. One of the other aspects of this issue that we're going to run into, and I can hear it, I've heard it over my 30 plus years of serving Yahweh, I've heard this, I think I probably even said it at one point, is that we are not, when Paul says you're not saved by works. Okay, so the problem is then, is that, again, it's a misunderstanding of something that is written in Scripture. You see, the fact of the matter is that by following Torah and by studying Torah, There are two stages of learning. There's knowledge, and then there's wisdom. And it's not the same thing. Knowledge is what we learn. So if I turned around and said, okay, I met a new guy and his name is John. Well, that's knowledge. But just because I know John's name, I don't know John. Okay? So here's, in this situation, if you turn around and you read the Bible, that means you have knowledge of the Bible, but it doesn't mean you have wisdom of the Bible. And so what happens here is that when we study the Torah, we have to take in all of Yahweh's Torah and try to understand it in our mind. But if it never goes any further than that, which is what Yeshua is talking about with the Pharisees and Sadducees, is that they taught it and it was only in their head, but it never went to their heart where it became wisdom and experience and love and joy and meekness and faith and long suffering. These are the things, this is what Torah can do and is supposed to do for each and every one of us. So most people will turn around and say, okay, well, you know, we're not saved by works. But that solution is actually, this is such a cliche. And obviously people who spew that out of their mouth are basically so ignorant because they don't understand the simple concept that if you learn something like Torah and the commandments, and you bring it down into your heart, it's going to start changing you. This is why they tell you to meditate upon the heart, meditate upon Torah all day and long. Because those people who meditate upon it, then when they are going through their daily lives, when they make a decision, it becomes an automatic process that they run it through the Torah filter. And that Torah filter means that the process has gone to their heart and they are now going, okay, I want to have something to eat for lunch. Oh, wait a second. Torah says that I can't have this and this and this. Okay, so there you go. They run it through the process, and here's where the truth comes out. Everybody has a choice to agree or disagree, or obey or disobey. So you can say, okay, well, I remember something about the Torah says that I can't eat pork. But you know what? I really want to have pork chops for lunch. So I'm going to have it, or bacon on my hamburger or something along that lines. If you do it, it's just knowledge in your head. If you don't do it and you say, no, I'm going to be obedient and I'm not going to have that pork because the Torah says that I'm not supposed to eat it, you've gained wisdom. You gain wisdom at many levels. Not only is it better for your health, but it's also because you choose to follow Torah. You choose to follow Yahweh and what He has asked of us to do. See, Yahweh tells us things that we're supposed to do, and He's not under any obligation to tell us why. Nowhere. In the entire Bible does it say that we have to understand why we're supposed to do things. We're just supposed to do them. This is what faith is all about. So getting back to Paul, if Paul says we're not saved by works, he's correct. We're not saved by works. So my performing all of these acts of obedience because the Torah says don't do this or keep the Sabbath on the Saturday instead of on Sunday, or don't keep Christmas and don't keep Easter and keep, you know, Sukkot and Passover and Shavuot and stuff like that. I'm not doing it just simply because he tells me to do it. I'm doing it because I want to be obedient to him. So my doing that is not works. It's only works if you're doing it to impress others. If you're doing it because you're being obedient, then basically it's not works anymore because it's a labor of love. And that's the difference. When you turn around and you learn something and then you make it part of who you are, it becomes a manifestation of your faith. And it no longer becomes works, even though technically it still is. You need to understand that to get past that speed bump that I've heard so many people use as an excuse to ignore the truth, as an excuse to get around. When we can do that, we're going to end up walking a lot closer to Yahweh. So again, the transformation, the proof that using the Torah, learning the Torah, gaining that knowledge and turning it into wisdom will manifest itself in a certain way. And that manifestation we can see if we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which is a very popular scripture in churches, is that by the fruit of spirit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit, or what you have learned and how you apply the Torah commandments. There's nothing here about earning your way through works or salvation that is dependent on it. More proof of this is thrown to us in Deuteronomy 8:2, where we see that the Almighty tells us that He takes us through the wilderness. All the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were put in the wilderness. Why? Because He wanted to test them. He wanted to humble them. He wanted to see their true heart. There's nothing harder for us, but more valid a test for anyone is to see how you will react, how you will respond, see how you treat others when you're under pressure. That's the true test of where your heart is. Without the testing, it's just words. It's just knowledge. It doesn't mean anything, which is what is being addressed here by Yeshua when He addresses the Pharisees and Sadducees. So let's move on. Number two, Matthew 23:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for the pretense make a long prayer. Therefore you shall receive a greater damnation. This one, it's not really difficult, but let's go into it a little bit here. What we have here, what's really being spoken is more along the lines of those mysteries. And honestly, I struggle to keep my composure when I see this happening. But it's about those ministries who take money from people who can't afford it. You know, if somebody willingly, if came up to me and said, here, I want to give you some money, but I knew for a fact that they have no money to give, or what they're given is everything that they got, I couldn't take it. The fact of the matter is, and then to turn around and to say, God bless you, and may you, you know, have 1,000 blessings and all this other kind of stuff. And this is what He was talking about here. You know, where is your love for these people? Where is your faith and your goodness and gentleness over these people? To make somebody go homeless, or to make somebody go hungry because you want them to support you because you've got something so fantastic to tell them that it's going to change their lives, and then to get up in front of them and pray over them like you're some almighty. Wow. You know, that just, I can't even watch that stuff on TV because it just drives me nuts. But this is exactly what Yeshua is talking about here. He said, they're looking at it as a business. So people can't really afford to make it into business, and then covering it up with some heartless act of a long-winded prayer that pulls all the focus back on them, making them look like they're some righteous person. That's not acceptable. Honestly, that's just not what Yahweh's talking about. That is so hypocritical, and Yahweh just won't have anything to do with it. So, all right, let's go on to Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single convert. And when he becomes a convert, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourself. Wow. There's a lot there. What are we talking about again? Let's go into it. I've seen this physically on multiple continents around the world. And there will be people who will travel all over, who will literally go all over the globe to try and bring more people to Jesus. What he's talking about here is that the people who seek converts only to put them under their thumb and say, you have to do things this way. You have to do things according to the way that I teach you. And what was happening in Yeshua's time is that the Pharisees were finding people to convert into Judaism, I guess, at that time, making them turn around and study the Torah and the Talmud and everything else. But the reality is that it was all a lie. It was already false teachings, teaching them that if they didn't study these things, then they would go to hell. But they were already lost in the first place. The Pharisees are already going to hell because they weren't teaching the truth. So if you don't teach the truth of Torah and you say that, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to hell, you're no closer to the kingdom. And that's what was happening here. And that's what's being talked about. These people were being taught lies. And they were being put under, okay, you have to follow exactly what we say, instead of saying you got to follow what the Torah teaches. And then you got to be obedient to us and tithe to us and all these other things, when really is, here, let's follow Torah. What does Messiah say about this? What does Messiah say about that? What does Yahweh expect of us? One of the other phrases, we want you to come into our church. We want you to become a member. We'll love you. You can be part of our groups. You can do this. You can do that. You tithe to us. You support us. But you don't have to do, you know, the Old Testament's done away with. Start reading in the book of John. The other stuff is all done away with. It's just a lie. We don't have to do any of that anymore. All of that leads to death. It's almost as if they teach that you can have salvation without any consequences, because you don't have to eat kosher, you don't have to keep Torah, you don't have to keep the feasts or the Sabbaths, sabbatical years. I mean, what else is there? Take away all these things and you got commentary, explanations on how to do it, when it was done, where it was done, but it's not the actual instructions on what is to be done. And this is what Yeshua was talking to the Pharisees about. You know, you go all over, you teach them all these other lies, you put them in restraints, basically, and saying you have to do things exactly like this, otherwise you're going to hell, when reality is, it's not even the truth to start with. We got to be careful of that, because even myself am responsible to whoever listens to this teaching. And it's taken me a long time to get to this point where I can teach. I've done it before, and I'm always conscientious about what I teach, because I want people to turn around and to take this material, and I want you to go back and I read it yourself and study it and pray about it. It has to come from Torah. It has to come from Yahweh. It cannot come from me. It's so dangerous if we're not careful. Okay, so all right, I got one more to go for today. Now I think this is what, number 4? 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're going to do 23. We're going to do 24. So let's do Matthew 23 and 24. All right, and this will be it for this session. And then I will continue on with the rest of them and finish them up next session. So, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. We can see here that we can't do the mechanics, meaning just the knowledge part of it. We can't just go and read the Torah or just read the Bible and go, okay, therefore I know it. It has to be processed. I've mentioned this before time and time again, and I'm going to probably be mentioning it many more times throughout my teachings because it's so relevant. Tithing is a definite. The tithing is something that we need to do. It builds discipline. It helps support those teachers that Yahweh has sent. And all teachers really are, I'll be honest with you, they're not some mystical, spiritual gurus. Teachers are basically people who have gone through the battlefield, maybe many times, and have gained wisdom and learned and have gone through the testing and the fires, which everybody has to go through in order to progress through this journey. That's what a teacher is. And he comes along and he says, let me share with you something that I've learned. Now, if my experience has taught me anything, it's taught me this, that for the most part, as human beings, we don't want to be told what to do. This is one of our greatest flaws. We are so dead set against control, people controlling us, telling us what to do, that we will refuse wisdom so that we can say, I'm going to do it my way and nobody's going to tell me what to do. But those that come along and say, I want to be taught, can you teach me, are going to leap further ahead. And if they have the right heart to listen and learn and study, they will go far. They will grow much faster than that person who decides that they don't want to be taught by somebody else, or that they can do it all by themselves. I speak from experience, folks. I've been on both sides of this. I have had wonderful mentors and teachers over the years, probably close to a dozen in my 33 years. And I have also spent some of those years going, I don't need anybody. I have the Holy Spirit. Let me just put this to you. There's a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of denominations. There are a lot of teachers, rabbis, pastors, deacons, elders, you know, the fivefold ministry. If you go to one church, a Pentecostal church, do they not tell you that they are being led by the Holy Spirit? And if you went to the Protestant church, do they not tell you they are being led by the Holy Spirit? Or the Catholic Church, or the Orthodox Jews, or the, take your pick, or the Baptist, they'll all tell you the same thing, that they're being led by the Holy Spirit. Yet you see no unity out there. They fight against each other. They challenge each other. They go, they won't talk to each other. Oh no, it's our understanding. Or no, you're wrong and I'm right. Well, my question is this. Either the Holy Spirit is really confused, or it's not the Holy Spirit that's teaching them. What do you think? When it comes to this, teachings, there are certain rules that Yahweh lays down for us in the Torah. He expects obedience. He's our Father. Our Father says, you live in my house, you follow my rules. That sounds familiar. I've heard that from my own father when I was a young man. And I don't think there's a father out there who doesn't say that at one point in his parenthood to one of his children, if not all of them. So Yahweh has rules. We have to obey them. We have to keep them. We have to learn from them, and we have to make them part of who we are. And that's walking in obedience. If we choose not to do that, again, there are two aspects to everything. There's a physical aspect and a spiritual aspect. The physical aspect is you studying this out and learning the Torah. He's given us the written word. He's given us and says, here's my word, study it out. Physical. Take it into your heart and change who you are and become more like me, spiritual. We can't do one without the other, and you can't say, I only want the spiritual or I only want the physical, because it's a package. It's not something you can separate, divide. I don't want this part. I want that part. I like this. I don't like that. That's just too hard. That's too difficult. It's all of it, or it's nothing. We have to stop playing the games. I know a lot of people out there, and I've talked to a lot of them. I've had the fortunate blessing to visit several countries, and I've even been more blessed because Yahweh has at times taken me to the other side of this planet to talk to some people and to be talked to by many people. Some of it was extremely painful. Some of it was incredibly uplifting and beneficial. But we have to be obedient to the Torah. We have to be obedient to the laws that Yahweh has given to us. And we can't play the games. Our time is running out here, I believe, anyways, and it's going to get to the point where we will have no time left, and it will just be too late. Well, that's it for today. Next week, I will continue on with this teaching on leaven, and hopefully you will discover within yourself the leaven that needs to be removed or changed out before it becomes too late. And I will look forward to hopefully hearing and seeing back from some of you.